Thank you, David. That was excellent. This morning, we're starting our summer series on the Psalms, as we have the last several summers, and I'm kicking it off with Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. The entire psalm is about the Word of God. That teaches us that God's Word is very important. And as we will see, it's very important for a lot of reasons. In this psalm, numerous words are used for the Word of God. Depending on your translation, they are teaching, precept, statute, command, commandment, regulation, decree, judgment, word, promise, testimony, law, instruction, way, or path. These terms reflect different aspects of the Word of God. For example, several of the words emphasize law. Keeping the commandments, the laws of the Sinai covenant was very important when this psalm was written. So a big legal component, law. But there are other words used to describe the Word of God, like instruction or teaching or way or path or testimony. The Word of God teaches us, it instructs us, it educates us. It is a way or path leading us to the desired goal. It's a testimony, faithfully testifying to what God wants us to know and what He wants us to do. It's a word or a promise, letting us know the good things God has promised for those who obey His word. This psalm is an acrostic. There are 22 sections based on the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The acrostic goes in order, starting with Aleph, and ending with Tav. Each of the 22 sections has 8 verses, each of which starts with the same letter of the alphabet. The way this psalm is arranged speaks to us about design. Like nature, God's word has design written all over it. Psalm 119 has 4 main themes. The nature of the Word of God, what it's like. The benefits that come to us from interacting with the Word of God, and they are many and they are tremendous. The ways we interact with the Word of God, and what God will do to us to help us interact with His Word. Those are the 4 main themes. We'll start with the first one, the nature of the Word of God. The Word of God has a divine origin. Over and over and over and over, praying to the Lord, the author of this psalm declares, "It is your word, your commandments, your decrees, your commands, your regulations, your instructions, your laws. Your, 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 your." This teaches us that the Word of God is God's Word. It is of divine origin. Sure, the Lord used people like Moses and the prophets and the apostles to write his word, but behind these Jewish men is the living God who inspired them and guided them in their writing. The Lord is the true author of the Word of God. Of course, this makes the Bible the most special book ever written by far. How wonderful to have a book which was authored by God Himself. The Word of God has a divine origin. The Word of God is a wonder. Verse 129, your laws are wonderful. No wonder I obey them. This teaches us that the Word of God is a wonder, a marvel, a miracle, something truly extraordinary. How blessed we are to have a book that is so exceedingly great and special and full of wonders. The Word of God is righteous. Verse 7. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. Verse 106. I've promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. There are so many books and other sources of information which teach things that are not righteous. However, there is absolutely nothing unrighteous in the Word of God. Everything in it, everything about it is righteous, right, just, fair, which is not surprising since it reflects the nature of its author. You want to be righteous? You want to be right? And really do what is right? You want to believe the right things? Do the right things? You want to be in a right relationship with the living God? Know and obey the Word of God, which is righteous. The Word of God is truth. Most books, religions, ideologies, and philosophies contain truth. However, the truth is mixed with error. Not so the Word of God. It's 100% true. Verse 151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Verse 160, the very essence of your words is truth. You want the truth? The whole truth? And nothing but the truth? You want pure truth, not mixed with any errors at all? Read the Word of God and believe it. Verse 140, your promises have been thoroughly tested. That's why I love them so much. Like silver that is thoroughly tested by heat so that it melts and the impurities are able to be easily removed so that only pure silver remains, the Word of God is tested. It is free from any errors. There is nothing untrue in it, nothing wrong, nothing mistaken, no lies, no distortions, no errors whatsoever. The Word of God is trustworthy. It's almost impossible to find a source of information that is reliable, that's trustworthy, whether it's a person, a website, a media outlet. However, we have a source that is completely worthy of our trust. Verse 138, your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. You want the most important information that is completely reliable, totally trustworthy? You have it in the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect. It's so true, so reliable, so trustworthy. It's perfect. Verse 96. Even perfection has its limits, but your commands have no limit. There are certain people that are very picky who are perfectionists. I tend to be like that. I know others of you who tend to be perfectionists. It can be really annoying. I don't like imperfections. I like perfect. I want perfect. There's very little in this world that is perfect. However, thanks be to God for His word, which is perfect. Even perfection has its limits, but your commands have no limits. The word of God is eternal. Verse 89, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. 152, I have known from my earliest days that your laws will last forever. There are many books that were relevant for the time they were written, but over the years, these books became irrelevant. They're about people and subjects and situations that are no longer relevant or meaningful to people today. No one reads these books. However, that will never be true of the Word of God. It's just as relevant now as it was when God used Moses to write it. It's as meaningful today as when the Lord inspired the prophets and the apostles to write it. It will never become obsolete. It will always be meaningful and relevant, and it will endure. This book will last throughout all the ages. The Word of God is eternal. So, to summarize what Psalm 119 teaches us about the nature of the Word of God, it is the Word of God. God is its author. It was written by special Jewish men who were divinely inspired. This is the divinely inspired Word of the living God. It's a wonder, a marvel, a miracle. It's extraordinary. It's righteous. It is true. It is trustworthy. It is perfect. It is eternal. It's as relevant and meaningful now as it was when it was written. It will always be meaningful and relevant. It will endure throughout the ages. Wow, what a special book. What an amazing book. What an exceedingly valuable and rare and precious book. I want to get to know this book and allow it to influence me and mold me and shape me and transform me. I want to base my thoughts, my beliefs, my values, my priorities on this book. I want to base my life on this book. How about you? Second main theme, the benefits that come to us from interacting with the Word of God, they are many and they are tremendous. God's Word produces joy. Verse 1, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Verse 2, joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. Verse 92, if your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. God's word produces joy. You're not happy? Little or no joy in your life? The reason may be that you are not interacting with the word of God frequently enough and well enough. You're not reading it enough. You're not reading it thoughtfully. You're not thinking about it. You're not meditating on it. You're not hearing it taught by God-ordained teachers. Or if you are relating to the Word of God by reading it and thinking about it and hearing it taught, maybe you're not obeying it. You're not putting it into practice. You want to be happier? You want some joy? Immerse yourself in the Word of God. God's Word produces freedom. Verse 45, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. This world is fallen. It is satanically controlled. Human nature is fallen and enslaved to sin and the dark spiritual powers. You don't want to be controlled by a world dominated by lies. You want to be able to go against the dictates of the godless majority. You don't want to remain imprisoned by dark spiritual powers. You want the freedom to believe the right things, think the right way, live the right way, and be who God made you to be? God's word will do that for you. It will set you free. God's word produces freedom. God's word produces holiness. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 9, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. This fallen world, which is in rebellion against God, is filled with sin and sinners. The world is filled with young people who are driven by impure desires and give in to those impure desires. You want to be different? You don't want to sin against God. You want to stay pure. You want to be holy. Love and obey the word of God. Have it and keep it in the deepest recesses of who you are. In your heart, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word produces holiness. In a fallen world that is dominated by sin and the sin nature and the fallen angels who lie to us and deceive us, many people do not know right from wrong. Good from evil. God's word helps us discern good from evil, the righteous from the wicked. It protects us from evil and from evil people. Verse 61. Evil people try to drag me into sin, but I am firmly anchored to your instructions. Verse 115, get out of my life, you evil-minded people. For I intend to obey the commands of my God. Verse 128, each of your commandments is right. That's why I hate every false way. Verse 133, guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. You want to be able to truly discern good from evil? You want to really know what is right and what is wrong? Be able to distinguish the good way from the many false ways? Be able to resist being carried along by the godless majority, by evil people and their evil ways? You don't want to be overcome by evil. You want to overcome evil? Anchor yourself. Attach yourself to the Word of God. God's Word eliminates shame. Verse 80. May I be blameless in keeping your decrees. Then I will never be ashamed. In this fallen world, which is satanically controlled and is in rebellion against God and is under a curse, it's easy to do things that will embarrass you, that will cause you shame. I've done things I am ashamed of, way too many things. And the things we do which bring us shame, for which we are ashamed, can bring shame to those who love us. And the shameful things we do that bring us shame dishonors the God who loves us. You don't want to be ashamed or bring shame to others. You don't want to dishonor the living, holy God. Carefully follow the Word of God. God's Word eliminates shame. God's Word produces righteous indignation, righteous anger, and godly sorrow. Verse 136. Rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your instructions. Verse 158, seeing the false, the faithless, makes me sick at heart because they care nothing for your word. Verse 53, I become furious with the wicked because they reject your instructions. When we know the Word of God, when we have familiarized ourselves with it, when we know what is good and right and faithful and true, and when we see things that are wrong, unjust, faithless, twisted, perverted, and dishonoring to God taking place, we can get angry. And we can get sad. A recent example, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, who claims to be a Christian, recently tweeted that she will appear on a popular drag queen show, Transvestites, and that it was an honor to make an appearance on this drag queen show. And she is inspired by the contestants. And their freedom of expression is what America is all about. When I heard this, I got angry. Another example. There are libraries that encouraged transvestites to read children books advocating their particular sexual perversion. Libraries, drag queens, transvestites reading children books on perversion. When we see people, especially leaders who claim to be Christians, like Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, advancing perversion and abortion and other evils, it is okay to get angry. And it is okay to be sad. Messiah said it best, blessed are those who mourn. God's word produces righteous indignation and godly sorrow. God's word produces wisdom. Wisdom, which includes knowledge and understanding, all applied in the right way, in a wise way. Wisdom is so valuable. It is so precious. It is so helpful. It is so beneficial. Wisdom helps us overcome all of life's challenges. You want wisdom. Verse 32, I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. Verse 24, your laws please me. They give me wise advice. Verse 98, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. You want to be wiser than your enemies. Verse 99, yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. You want to be wiser than your teachers, especially today. Verse 100, I'm even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Verse 130, the teaching of your word gives light, truth, wisdom, understanding, revelation, victory. The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. You want a truly successful life, a victorious life, a blessed life? You need wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, which come as a direct result from interacting with the Word of God. God's Word revitalizes when we are low, depressed, discouraged. It comforts us in our troubles. Verse 25, I lie in the dust. That's pretty low. I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word. Verse 28, I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Verse 50, your promise revives me. It comforts me. In all my troubles, promise here is another name for the word of God. Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles. 149, in your love, O Lord, hear my cry. Let me be revived by following your regulations. 156, Lord, how great is your mercy? Let me be revived by following your regulations. You're depressed, sad, discouraged. You're weighed down by troubles. You feel like you're drying up, withering, dying. You want to be revitalized, renewed, revived? You need some encouragement? You need to be interacting with the Word of God a lot. God's Word produces stability, peace, confidence in dangerous and difficult circumstances. And I am sure we are headed into a time of dangerous and difficult circumstances. 95, though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your laws. 109, my life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. Verse 110, the wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn away from your commandments. 143, I'm experiencing trouble and distress, but I find joy in your commands. 165, those who love your instructions have shalom rav, great peace, and do not stumble. We live in a fallen world that is filled with troubles, trials, difficulties, hardships, problems. You want peace and confidence and even some happiness while living in such a world? Maybe you're in a particularly dangerous situation, truly dangerous. You need to be reading and thinking about and meditating and obeying the Word of God. Well, there's more to say about Psalm 119 and what it has to say about the Word of God. Lord willing, we will do that next week. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to really know and love you and your word. Help us to seek you and to seek a lot of interaction with your word. Help us to be intentional about that. Lord, please be our rabbi, be our teacher. Teach us your word. Help us understand it. Help us treasure it, value it, read it, think about it, meditate on it, hear it taught by God-ordained teachers that you give the gift to teach your word. Help us to remember your word, never forget it. Help us to keep it in our minds and in our hearts. May we not be just hearers of your word, but doers of your word. Help us to obey it, follow it, practice it carefully and consistently. Amen. Please stand. We're going to continue with our tefillot, our prayers.